What a celebration we have begun. Why? Why all the fuss? Somebody's birthday. I mean, we all have birthdays. Has there ever been such a fuss over your birthday? Why? Why would we do this? Gather and sing and praise. Exchange gifts. Well, of course, the celebration of Jesus' birthday is so different because of who he is. That's what's drawn us here this morning. The great majority of us. He's God. God put on flesh and became man. And those who have experienced the reason he came, the grace poured out, new life, forgiveness, reconciliation with God, know why you're here this morning. There's a remembrance. There's a joy. Because everything has changed. There's still hard times. There is still trouble. There is still sorrow. But those realities are measured out by Christ in us. Christ here amongst us. He makes all the difference in the world. And that's why we have come. There are some here this morning, and you're on the edge of that good news, of by faith alone experiencing God's grace, that unmerited favor, that this one we celebrate and we're here because it's tradition maybe, or because, you know, this is a promise to a relative, a parent or a child, I'll go to church with you. But you've been drawn. Who is this Jesus that many in this world make such a fuss about in a particular season? We're going to take a look this morning. We're going to consider this child. It's a biblical word, consider. It's in one of the texts we're going to look at this morning. It's a powerful word. It's a word I never used up until I became a Christian. And I'd see it all over the scripture. Consider then how you should live. Consider what you should say. Joseph, we're going to see, considered something that was spoken to him. It means to dwell, to meditate, to think deeply on what is the ramification of this. And as you and I consider this child this morning, we're going to see from our two texts, seven names he's given. Characteristics, attributes of this Jesus that are given in the scripture. Are they the only ones in the scripture? No, there's well over 100 characteristics, attributes given to Jesus. This is his name. We just sang of one of them. You know, the Lord is one of them. We're not even going to look at that one this morning. But here in his birth announcement in Matthew 1, and then Isaiah the prophet, 700 years earlier, giving a birth announcement, identifies him with some names. And here's the gift to us this morning. For those of us who by God's grace, through faith, have heard the knock on the door of our heart from this Jesus at some point in our life, have been born anew. Life is different. Perspective is different. Let us consider deeply, soberly, personally, who he is in our life today, not just the child we celebrate and look to in a manger, but who he really is for you. And for those who today might be that day of you considering for the first time that he is God and he was very purposeful. He was sinless as he lived this life. He went to a cross very much by the orchestration and deliverance of his own father to that cross, God using religious leaders and a Roman government to accomplish his purpose, to be a substitute. Because all of us have a serious, serious problem. It's called sin. It's called missing the mark. That's what the word sin means. We're missing the mark. God has a mark, a bullseye, and we miss it. And Jesus came and he didn't miss it. He lived it perfectly. Because the scripture would tell us there's a result of our sin, and it's spiritual death. Physical death. Immediately spiritual death. We're born in the image of God, but our spirit's not alive. Jesus makes it alive. We have a soul, a conscience, but Jesus makes our spirit alive. And when he went to that cross, he took on himself that debt, that payment that you and I deserve, the world deserved. And those who believe by faith alone that he did that for them, God says you're alive. And so we know some of these things. But let us this morning consider who he is in our life today. Because of our ministry life as our family and because of the tradition we have, Christmas Eve after every service, for many years we have traveled to New Jersey to visit with Danielle's family, her parents, her brother, her sister, and their family. We exchanged gifts the night before Christmas Eve. As we did that last night, every single one of the gifts that I received was either a replacement of a previous gift or a battery to fix the one that had broken down. Something. Every gift that I've ever received failed me at some point. Or I failed it by expanding my waistline. And so I needed another pair. It was amazing. I got these stretchy ones now. And they look good. Back in the day, the stretchy ones looked terrible. It's a secret. Now that I've shared it with you. Not anymore. But do you know, as we study these seven characteristics and attributes of Jesus, they never need recharging. He never runs out of these attributes offered to us. They're there. And that's the desire this morning. Let us consider what is available, who is available to us today in our lives. Jesus Christ the Lord, who is he? Consider soberly, personally, this child. Turn in the back of your program. The text is there from Matthew chapter 1. Open up your Bibles to Matthew 1. We'll see it here on the wall, Matthew 1. And then we're going to take a look at Isaiah, a prophet who lived and whom God spoke through 700 years or so before the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus, the Christ, which means Messiah, Savior, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, now that word betrothed is she's legally pledged to be married. Kind of different today in our culture, isn't it? When you ask someone to marry you, a guy would step out and ask a young lady to marry him. They become a fiancé, but it's not legal. In Jesus' day, in his culture, it was legally binding to be betrothed to someone. And before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. See, they weren't married yet. They were betrothed. So they weren't together yet. And her husband, notice, even calls him a husband, even though he's not legally married to her yet. It was that serious of a legal binding. Being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Because she said, I'm with child, Joseph. By the Holy Spirit, by God himself. And his reaction was, okay. No, it wasn't. It was, hello? Say what? Come on. Mary was a righteous young woman. Joseph was a righteous young man. But he just could not bring those together. Never happened before. And because of his character, he wasn't going to scream in the highways and the byways, look at this Mary. Look what she's done to me and to my reputation. He simply quietly look to put her away and to consider and divorce her. But as he considered these things, he began to think about that. What would this look like? How would I do this? Is she, could it possibly be that this is true? I know Mary. She's a precious young woman. Righteous young woman. Perfect? No. Sinless? No. But I know her. And he's considering these things. And notice what happens. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And now we're going to see the New Testament quoting the Old Testament from Isaiah 7, verse 14, again, 700 years earlier. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. In other words, then he married her. He went and sought out those who would officiate the wedding, the priest there in the synagogue or in the temple. And he married Mary. He took her as his wife. But notice, he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. He did not have relations with her until after the birth of Jesus. And he called his name Jesus. Now, Isaiah 9, verse 2 through 6. Let's look at the prophet who again shares with us 700 years before something about this one who would be born. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Verse 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So as you and I consider these things, if you want to grab a pen from the seat pocket in front of you, you can fill in the back of your program, interact with these things, but I want us to consider, to reflect again, carefully, soberly, and personally, who this child is that we celebrate his birth this morning. What he offers, and that we might continue to let him lead us as the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep is. The shepherds worshipped him that day, that evening. The magi would come, the wise men from a far distance at a later time, and they would worship him. He deserves our worship. And when we worship and bow before him, he lifts us up. He allows us to see who he is. Can you embrace him, number one, as your Jesus? Notice, can you say, he's my Jesus? You know what Jesus means? He was given that name. His name is not Christ. It's not Lord. They're titles. Identifies part of his reign. Lord means he's king. He's ruler. He's in charge. CEO, if you will. Christ means Messiah. Savior. But his name is Jesus. Jesus comes from the Old Testament term you and I might be familiar with, Yeshua, or more literally, Joshua, or more literally, Yeshua, but Joshua, which means God's salvation. That's what the name means. Name him Jesus, a very common name in his day. God's salvation. Can you say, and notice what it says in verse 21, for he shall save his people from their sins. Are you one of his people? That's so personal. That's why he came. To gather to himself a people. to call specifically by name, your name. Have you heard him call your name that you could become his people? And then you know he's your Savior. That you've taken that place of responsibility and accountability because there is an awakening in your life and in your heart. I'm not right with God. I've missed the mark. And I believe that Jesus is the Redeemer, the Reconciler. He's my Jesus. He's my Savior. For the Scripture says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But the good news, talk about Christmas and a gift. Romans 6:23 says this. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's through him, this gift. And God says, that's why you name him this name. He is our salvation. Is he yours this morning? Has he become yours? That starts at some point, one time, with each one of us, where there's an acknowledgement and a yieldedness. You know what the Scripture calls that? Being born of God's Spirit. All of us in this room were born physically at one point in your life. Can you agree to that? Yeah. Good. Excellent. Have we all been born of God's Spirit? That's the second birth. A term, biblical, comes out of Jesus' mouth, born again. Often misunderstood in our culture and society. But Jesus says, to experience this new life, forgiveness of sin, I make you born again. You hear the call. You understand the gospel of why I've come. And you yield and you say, that's, I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. I need peace with God. Jesus, what you did was for me on that cross. Come back at Easter. And we'll talk about that, the significance of that. He's my Jesus. Secondly, is he your Emmanuel? Can you say he's my Emmanuel? The word Emmanuel means God with us. See, men have worshiped God, women have worshiped God, children have worshiped God. And yet God was somewhere distant, afar off. They felt they couldn't come to him directly. They needed somebody, an intermediary, or a prophet or a priest. And God was housed, or his representation, or his word, his glory was housed in a small box, in a larger room, in the beginning, in a movable temple, if you will, tabernacle, but now in a great big place in Jerusalem. But now all of a sudden God says, not anymore. Not anymore. The word became flesh. The one who was with God, the one who is God, took on flesh to tabernacle with us, to live amongst us, to be in us, my Emmanuel. Can you exhale and say, God is with me. God is in me by the Holy Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit of Christ. That's why the prophet would say, Emmanuel. God is with us. No longer is he going to be distant. No longer do we need to go through someone else. We come directly through and to the Father, through the Son. My Emmanuel. Notice some very well-known scriptures from John chapter 3. Listen to this. What this miraculous conception means. It means that God is for you, my friend. God is for you. He's not against you. He's not after you with a big stick. He is for you. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world as people that he gave his one and only son. That's a gift. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. How many times have you thought God was after you to swat you? That was my conception for a long time of God. But no, he is for us. That's why he came. That's why he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that is get to him. No matter how earnest we are or have been in the practice of a religion or good works or kindness to others. He says those are good things. But that does not reconcile you with me. Your life is accountable for missing that mark. So I'm going to become one of you. I'm going to take on flesh and become mankind to stand in the gap for you. Can you say, He's my Emmanuel? God is for me. God is with me. Can you say, He's my light? We notice Isaiah saying that. It might be a little confusing your program, but just go to number 4. But it's really number 3 in the text. He's my light. He is God's guidance for us in and through dark times. Look at the scripture. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. It's a picture here of those who got used to it, who got comfortable to the darkness. They were influenced by the darkness. Many thinking they were okay because of the practice of a religion and even Judaism. But then all of a sudden, suddenly, out of nowhere, a great light has shone. The light has come on. Jesus, Emmanuel, has come into the world, birthed as a baby, a humble baby, to questionable parents. So the world's end, as they look at who these young people are, to be a light, to offer guidance, to say you only see what you can see and understand at times what your own mind is capable of and what your own feelings tell you. But Jesus says, if you will look to me, I can show a light, shine a light that is pure, sincere, and genuine to guide you. And part of how he does that is through this word where he says it's a light unto your path to guide you. What's far ahead, but also what's in front of you. Jesus would say this. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Is he your light? Can you say this morning, Jesus is my light. He is the one who helps me see my own heart. But also maybe what's happening as I penetrate and walk in the world around me and all the responsibilities I have and all the quadrants of my life. Jesus can help me to see what I need to see. We see fourthly, he's the wonderful counselor from Isaiah 9:6. The wonderful counselor. He's God's wisdom, his answer for direction and decisions. Pastor Josh, have they ever called you the wonderful counselor? Oh, okay, he says no. Good answer. Maybe small W, small C, he's a wonderful counselor. But he's not the wonderful counselor. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Think about that. He's proclaimed as, he's identified as, this is also a picture from Isaiah saying, there's a royal declaration going out that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He's a marvelous advisor. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. He knows every bend in the road. And he says, I will be there to counsel you. There's safety in the multitude of counselors for us here on this earth. You know the scripture says that? There's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Don't take a step in those important decisions till you gather wise people to talk to. But you know what? There are times where God says, you know, I can be your wonderful counselor. And the counsel that you receive needs to line up with what I have said and what I have proclaimed. That's how you'll know you're amongst wise counselors. And there's safety in that. Jesus saying, that's who I am and desire to be in your life. I give you God's perspective, and his perspective is not the same as our initial thought on things. He says, I know that. That's why I seek for you to abide in me, to depend on me, to yield to me. He says to us, he says, you know, God says, I resist when I sense your pride, when I sense you're operating in your own wisdom. In 1 Peter 5, he says, but when I see your humility, I pour out my grace. And I protect you from the enemy who would want to devour and trip you up and chew you up. He says, but when you seek me, I will help you. I will show you a way, my way, to help you through whatever season you might be in. The wonderful counselor is Jesus. Can you say he is my wonderful counselor? Can you say fifthly that he is your mighty God? That he is your strength. Divine strength. And who doesn't need divine strength every day? When we can say, I am weak, and truly believe that he is strong. We're not just talking physically. We're just talking so much in every aspect of our life. He is mighty God. He's the strong one. He upholds us by his righteous right hand. And we're bent down and we seem like we're broken and we're seeing like I can't stand another time. It's just in those very moments that mighty God, our precious Jesus, will incline and lift us up. Take us up. Mighty God is a declaration and the attribute, the character identified of Jesus. And he's everlasting Father. Well, how can that be? How can he be the everlasting Father? There's a picture here of Jesus being the principal one, the lead one, the shepherd one, the everlasting Father, the attributes of an earthly father who ought to lead, who ought to guide, who ought to be there and stand at his children's side. And for many of us, we do that at times poorly, or even in a devastating way. Or maybe we've had a father who has missed the boat. But the Bible is describing Jesus as an everlasting father. That he is a steady one. He is the one who will protect. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. And he says, those who are mine know my voice versus all the other voices. And they respond to me. They come to me. And I give them eternal life. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus speaks that in John chapter 10, describing himself. When there's a constant question, who are you? Who are you? He says, this is who I am. The principal one. The head of the church. The leader of your life. The one who has called you, the one who has adopted you, knowing everything about you, but I chose you. Is he your everlasting Father? You can rest in him, lean into him, and trust your heart to him. That's his character. That's his attribute for us. And then the last this morning, as we consider and ponder this child, who's no longer a child, but he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he reigns at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, who has said to us and has promised to us, I must go, and it's far better that I go. Because I will send another, one just like me, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of comfort, the Parakletos, the Spirit of encouragement, the Spirit of truth. And he will come and he will seal you and he will mark you and he will teach you of everything that I've said and done. And I will be your peace. The Holy Spirit who is me in spirit, who has sealed you and lives in you, in your time of anxiety, in your time of unknown, in your time of trouble. When you seek me, when you recognize who I am You, as you will have what we've been doing this morning, rejoicing. You will have a rejoicing in your heart because your eyes will be lifted up. And he goes, and you will remember and you will consider, who is it that you're calling out to? Who is it that has changed your life? Who is it that has given you reconciliation with the Father, who will help you with every trouble? Who has said, I will not spare you from trouble. Trouble will happen in your life, in your days. But take heart, I've overcome the trouble in the world, and I will lead you through it. Because trouble is common to man. But I am faithful with you, faithful to you. And in the midst of the trouble, when you're tempted to do all kinds of things, and especially to stop seeking him as your Prince of Peace, he says, I will provide that way of escape. I will whisper to you. I will say, turn here. Turn back to me. And I will help you because I will bear up under for you. Lift with my shoulder whatever you're going through to help you. For as long as it endures, I will help you. I will shoulder the trouble and get you through it. And in the meantime, in that trouble, he says, I will refine you. And I will strengthen you. And because in that trouble, we are so close, because there I am, shouldering that trouble, seeing you through it, I will be whispering into your ear the whole time. And you will be looking up to me, and you will marvel at my strength and at my help. And you will have peace in the midst of spiritual war. You will have peace in the midst of chaos. He says, I am royal and I reign, and that's who I am. And that's what I offer to you. Help as Prince of Peace. Peace with God is what he procured for us. Romans 5:1 tells us. We have been justified, declared guiltless, declared free from God's penalty, all because of Jesus, by faith, believing in that. We have peace with God. That's for all eternity. All eternity. It's ours. But I still blow it. I still sin. I still. And he goes, yeah. I know you are weak, but I am strong. I know you are faithless, but I am faithful. I'm faithful to my declaration, to my attributes, and to my character. And when I've called, and when you've responded, you are mine forevermore. Your life eternal. And your life here on this earth with my help is yours. That's Christmas. That's the child we consider the Prince of Peace, our royal leader in the midst of chaos and spiritual warfare. He is the one who helps us. And so this Christmas, those who have come to that place and have heard that call, have responded to Jesus, you know that you know he lives in you. He has sealed you. He dwells in you. He says, consider who I am. Dwell and soberly think on who I am in your life. Take full advantage of this relationship and who I am and want to be in your life. For yes, I came to make peace with you and God. But I also offer to you my life in this way, as Jesus, the Savior, as Emmanuel, God now with you, as the light who will guide and direct your life, especially when it seems dark. As a wonderful counselor who would give you advice and truth and guide you well. As one who is strong, the mighty God, when you acknowledge in your humility that you are weak, and one who is an everlasting Father, a shepherd, who has given his life for you, who will lead you and protect you and be there for you, and as your Prince of Peace. Because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. My peace I give to you, not as the world do I give. And so that's the one we come to. And for our guests here this morning, or somebody who's been part of Open Arms Church for a while, Maybe this is your day of saying, I've never considered Jesus to be these things, to be this God in the flesh, the only one, the Redeemer. Maybe today is your day. And he's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, I adopt you today. Will you be adopted? But I'm old and I'm a mess. But if he's knocking at the door of your heart, he's saying, oh, I know. And I'm choosing you. I'm adopting you, taking you into this family, his family. For the scripture would tell us that's the only way it can happen. To those who receive him, Jesus, who believe on his name, my salvation, he gives the right to become children of God. Born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, a family member's will, but born of God. So all of that that's happening in your mind and your heart this morning, it could be at that very crossroads where you say, I believe, I have faith to believe Jesus died on that cross for me. I'm here this morning celebrating him because he is the Savior, not only of the world, but he's my Savior. Welcome to his family when you acknowledge in your heart and say, I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are who we've just read and your word declares who you are. And I confess now with my mouth. I will whisper it, but I will tell somebody before this day is over that Jesus is my Savior. And they will celebrate on the day we celebrate his birthday with your new birth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in this season. Thank you as we ponder Jesus and consider Jesus and soberly think on who he is, that he again might take his rightful place in a refreshing way, in a strong way, in a yielded way, because we bow and we ponder. We say, oh, Jesus, how we need you. For those who are your children, brothers and sisters, that we might see Jesus lift up yourself into my heart, into my mind. Take over, lead. Be my peace, be my strength, be my counselor. Remind me of where you're taking me. And as I walk this earth, I will let you lead me. And for those here today, Father, that you have specifically planned to come and to hear about who this Jesus is, and they can't get away from it. And they hear that knock and they open that door. There's one handle, it's on the inside. Jesus will never force himself on a person. He declares who he is. Your word declares who he is. And when they say yes, come in, what they're saying is, be Lord. You're in charge. Forgive me. Forgive me, Father, Almighty God, for sinning against you and missing the mark and rebelling against you and at times maybe trying to get to you in my own way. But today, I come to you through Jesus, the Son, who is God in the flesh, who died for me.